Amen. Welcome today. How many had a great 4th of July? A couple people. How many are thankful for the country we live in? Right? It has its flaws, has its problems, right? Just like everywhere in this world. But we're still thankful that we live in this great country. Amen? You know, and so we're proud of our country and just being able to be part of this great nation. Continue to keep our El Salvador. They're traveling. We also have Ping and Paula, the Filipino group. I think I heard Fred told me there was like 50 or something like that. They were headed out to Lancaster, Pennsylvania for their annual retreat. So there's a bunch of people traveling various places today. So let's continue to keep all of them in prayer. Today we're continuing our series. We've been addressing some uncomfortable topics over the last couple of weeks. And it's been a couple of weeks since I've shared. Last week, my wife preached on anxiety. You know, the last sermon before that, Pastor Jeremy preached on hell and God's justice. And then before that, we talked about things like grumbling. We talked about spiritual warfare. We talked about lust. We talked about sexuality. Today, we're going to talk about some topics that are, some of them are pretty politically charged. And so right here on the 4th of July, you know, we have a lot of opinions about some of these topics, but what we're going to rest in and the main thrust of what we're going to be talking about today is under the title of the sanctity of life. And during in this message today, we're going to hit some topics, again, that are political. We're going to talk a little bit about abortion, about euthanasia, about suicide, about racism, about gender identity. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things really quickly here today. We probably could talk about all of these in depth, you know, for hours and hours and just reach the surface level of them. So again, we're going to just sort of move through them pretty quickly, but I want us to just start thinking about some of these things. There's an attack on the sanctity of life in our culture. These topics spark intense debates as people hold strong feelings and opinions about their beliefs regarding these issues. There's a lot of debate, a lot of opinions. The sanctity of life is in some ways all but gone within our society. From topics like abortion to mass shootings, we no longer respect life or the people that are around us. Humans are the highest forms of God's creative activity, and He is intentional in both His creation and in our destiny. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27 says these words, "Let us make man in our image." So He created man in His own image. Male and female, He created them. God created humanity. Right? That's the basis that we need to understand and that we operate from, coming from a scriptural worldview. And when we start talking about some topics that are controversial in our culture, I want us to make sure that we're coming from a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview means that I'm viewing the topics, I'm viewing the culture, I'm viewing the issues that we discuss and dialogue about through the lens of Scripture. And that's what we need to do as men and women of God. We need to make sure we're viewing things through the lens of God's holy word. Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Life started with Adam and Eve in the garden, with God's intimate involvement in the creation of humanity. And we need to understand that. That's the basis of how we operate, you know, within our culture, within our understanding of God's holy word. We were created in the image of God. Therefore, all life is sacred to God. All life is sacred to God. Psalm 139, 13 through 15, David wrote these words, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Let's pause there for a minute. David's writing, he says, "God, your workmanship is marvelous." When was the last time you just evaluated yourself, looked in the mirror and said, "God, your workmanship is marvelous"? Many times we have the opposite opinion sometimes when we look in the mirror, don't we? God, why am I, you know, why did you make me this way? On and on we go, where we say, God, you messed up when you made me. You know, you should have made me a little bit more handsome. You should have made me a little bit better. You should have made me with a smaller or bigger nose or whatever it is that you complain about to God about your physical makeup. But here David writes, your workmanship is marvelous. I hope the next time you look in the mirror, you look there and you say, God, your workmanship is marvelous. Man, wouldn't that change how you view some things in your life? You know, let's just start there. If you hear nothing else that's said from this pulpit today, I want us to understand that God made you the way that you are on purpose for a purpose, and you have value today. You need to look and you need to say, God, thank you for making me the way that you made me. Quit complaining about all the ways that God made you and start thanking God for how he made you. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. The human body is truly incredible. There's an article I came across, 100 cool facts about the human body. And it was fascinating, but I'm not going to read all 100 to you today because that would take a long time. But here's a couple of select facts that I found interesting. You know, approximately 80% of your brain is composed of water. So you're only really using 20% of your brain, right? I don't know, you know, because 80% is water. Nerve impulses to and from the brain, we talked about this a few weeks ago, travel up to 350 miles per hour in your brain. Every day we lose 60 to 100 strands of hair. Some of us are above pace on that. Myself included, right? You know, but 60 to 100 strands of hair are gone every day. You know, women's hair is half the diameter of men's hair. You know, women's hair, I don't know, man. How many live with women, right? You know, you walk around and there's hair everywhere. I don't know what in the world, how it gets tangled around your toes while you're walking around the house, but man. Fingernails grow 4 times faster than toenails. Found that interesting. The largest internal organ is a small intestine. The human heart creates enough pressure to shoot blood 30 feet. You know, the acid in your stomach, don't try this at home, please. But the acid in your stomach is strong enough to dissolve a razor blade. Your left lung is smaller than your right lung to make room for your heart. Unless you're the Grinch, maybe your lungs are the same size, right? You know, feet have approximately 500,000 sweat glands that can produce a pint of sweat per day. Isn't that awesome? A pint of sweat per day coming out of your feet. That's awesome. Your nose can remember 50,000 different scents. You know, they say your eyes are the same size from birth, but your ears and your nose never stop growing. It takes 17 muscles to smile and 43 to frown. Right? So smile more, right? Or frown more, and maybe you'll, I don't know, use more muscles. I don't know. Babies are born with 300 bones, but by the time they're an adult, they're reduced to 206. Humans are the only living beings that produce emotional tears. You know, again, just some fascinating things about how God created us. God created us so complex. And we could talk about it a long time about the complexity of how God has created us. But as the psalmist said, we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us. God loves us. And God made us exactly the way we are on purpose for a purpose. God created all life. We need to understand that God loves each and every one of us and that God chooses life. First, I want to talk about how God is the giver of life, right? God, life comes from God. God is the giver of life. Jeremiah wrote these words in Jeremiah 1:5. And he's quoting from God. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart.
and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God had a plan for Jeremiah's life before he was born. Galatians 1:5, Paul wrote, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace." God had a plan and has a plan for your life, and he had a plan for your life before you were even born. And that's a beautiful thing that we need to understand from God's word, that God has a plan for you. Today, we're going to talk about something deep and profound, and the truth that God is the author of life. God is the author of life. Acts 3:15, Peter describes Jesus as the author of life whom God raised from the dead. When you hear the word author, you think of somebody that writes a story, right? Who creates the characters, who crafts the plots, who gives meaning to every word on the page. And when we think about, now imagine the same idea applied to your life, that God is the author of life, your life, my life, every life in this world. He knows us, and he wrote our story, and he knows all that there is to know about each and every one of us. It blows our mind when we stop to try to figure out, God, how do you know all those things? But the Bible begins with a powerful and beautiful statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right from the start, we see that God didn't just set the world in motion. He initiated every tree, every mountain, every heartbeat. You and me, we exist because God in his wisdom, God in his power chose to give us life. He is not just the spark that lit the fire. He is intimately involved in the lives of his creation. He knows everything about us. He's involved in your life, in your day-to-day life and day-to-day routines. He knows who you are, and he created you the way that you are. In Genesis, we're told that God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The image is not cold or mechanical. It's intimate and personal. God breathed his life into humanity, into us. That means life is not random. Life is not accidental. Life is intentional. It's sacred. And there's something even more incredible. God doesn't just start life. He sustains life. Acts chapter 17 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Think about that for a moment. Every step you take, every breath you draw, every thought in your mind is all held together by the hand of God. He's not distant. He's not watching from afar. He's involved. He is present. He is upholding life, your life right now. Again, Psalm 139 says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. All my days were ordained for me, were written in the book of life before one of them came to be." Isn't that incredible? All our lives, God knew what was going to happen in our lives before we even lived one day in this world. Before we were born, our stories were already known to him. Your story, your life was already known to him before you were born. You know, in my life, a couple of years ago, I never heard of Parma, Ohio. You know what? I was living in south of Pittsburgh, you know, but God saved me and brought me to Cleveland, praise God, right? You know, but I was living south of Pittsburgh. Sorry to all those Pittsburgh people that might be watching online. But anyway, south of Pittsburgh, and I never heard of Parma, Ohio. But God knew I was going to end up in Parma, Ohio, and that we were going to be doing life together. Isn't that beautiful? That God knew all these details of our lives before we even knew the details of our lives. He knows our hopes. He knows your struggles. He knows your dreams. He knows your calling. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. God doesn't just author life, he authors purpose. Every person, every soul was made for something meaningful. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That means that you have a purpose. That you are here, not here by chance. You are part of something greater, God's greater story. When we see God as the author of life, it changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we see others. Life isn't cheap. It isn't meaningless. It's precious. And because it's precious, it's worth protecting, nurturing, and honoring from womb to the final breath that we take. life is precious to God. Now we're going to talk really briefly about some hot topics, I know. But I want us to just hang in there and just continue just to soak in the presence of God and allow Him to speak to you during this time. First topic that we're hit really briefly, abortion denies the value to the unborn. The Bible clearly upholds the sanctity of life, teaching that every human being is created in the image of God and therefore possesses inherent worth and dignity. From the unborn to the elderly, Scripture consistently affirms that life is precious. Life is precious. All the way through God's holy word, we can read about it and we see that life is precious to God. Science even now teaches us that life begins at conception. They like to argue that fact. But life begins at conception. When the egg is fertilized, a unique DNA begins to develop in the embryo. A unique DNA is inside the mother's womb, right? A unique DNA, that means a unique individual life has started. Part of the assemblies of God, we're here, we view the practice of abortion as evil that has been inflicted upon millions of innocent babies, and life should be protected. The Bible condemns the taking of innocent life. The commandment, you shall not murder, protects life as sacred and not to be treated carelessly or violently. Jesus emphasizes love, compassion, and care for others, especially for those who are vulnerable. It's about all I'm going to say on this topic because I know that it's a very sensitive topic. I've been in church long enough to know, I've been a pastor long enough to know that probably here in this room or somebody that's watching online has unfortunately gone through these things in their life, in their journey. And I know the heartache that mothers have expressed to me about going through these things in their life and unfortunately walking down the road of abortion. I've spoken to broken fathers who have had this choice that has been ripped away from them and the guilt that they feel as well for going down this road. And I know that this is a tough topic here today, but I want you to know that there's grace and there's forgiveness in the hands of Jesus. At the foot of the cross, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've experienced in this life, you can receive grace and healing and forgiveness in your life. In fact, before we switch from this point, I want to just take a moment and I just want to pray. I want to pray for our nation that we continue to protect life, but I also want to pray for those that are here today that have been affected by these decisions in their walk and their journey, that God would bring healing into your heart today. Lord, we pause in your presence today, understanding that life is complex. And Lord, life is so hard. God, I pray right now, Lord, for those that are here, that, Lord, have maybe made a decision to walk down the road of abortion in their lives. God, I pray for healing right now just to embrace them. Lord, I pray your loving arms would just come around them. And Lord, that you would just bring healing right now into hearts and into lives. God, I know this is very difficult, the guilt that's carried after these moments in life. And God, I pray right now, Lord, for healing in this place. Lord, I also pray over our country. God, that you would continue to help us, Lord, to protect life of the vulnerable. Lord, that we would continue, Lord, just to walk down this road of protecting life. And God, that you would help us, Lord, just to follow your will and your desire and understand your word is clear that you value life and the preciousness of life. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just help our nation. Lord, help our world, God, just to be able to take proper steps, Lord, just to protect the vulnerable in our world, God. We love you so much. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And God, I pray that we would find grace and mercy at the foot of the cross. Lord, that we would know that you are a God that doesn't despise us, but you're a God that extends grace and mercy to us and healing into our hearts and our lives. And God, I pray right now, Lord, for healing to take place, Lord, in our hearts and our minds. In your name we pray. Amen. Euthanasia is another topic we don't talk about very much, but it's denying value to the elderly, right? You know, thankfully, it's still against the law in our culture, in our country, you know, and hopefully it will maintain that, you know, that we will protect life on that side, but we must continue to protect life. Let me say this, that the author of life, that as the being the author of life means that God is the final say in our story. Accepting this truth can be difficult, especially during times of suffering. There's times that, you know, people are suffering, you know, but however, there's hope. The same God who authored the beginning has already crafted the ending, and through Jesus Christ, the final chapter promises things like redemption and grace and eternal life. You know, going through that end of life season might be difficult. There might be some suffering involved, but the end of the story is not suffering for those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's redemption, it's eternal life that we get to look forward to in our lives. The next one, again, a very sensitive topic, you know, but suicide denies the value of myself. When we look at ourselves, the Bible does not directly address suicide in detail, but it strongly affirms the value and sacredness of human life and offers hope in times of deep despair. Scripture teaches us that life is precious to our God. Acts 17:25 says, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Because God is the giver of life, He alone has the authority over it. Sometimes people get overwhelmed and feel hopeless, but the Bible offers comfort and encouragement. Psalm 34:18 reminds us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit. Even in our darkest moments, God has not abandoned you. Even in your darkest moments, those moments that no one else knows about, those moments that you're alone and you say, man, God, where are you in this dark moment of my life? God has not abandoned you in those moments. God is there with you. He invites us to draw near to Him. Psalm 42:11 says, when you are downcast, O my soul, why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Here the author of this psalm says, you know what, I need to put my hope in God. I need to start thinking about my God and my relationship with Him once again. Jesus also offers rest to the weary and brokenhearted. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful promise. When we are broken, when we are downhearted, when we are in that moment of despair, we can run to God and God will give us rest. And I know this is a difficult topic. There may be some here today that are wrestling with this topic right now in your world. I want to tell you that life is worth it. Your life is valuable. Your life is valuable to those that are around you. And let me tell you, I know I've walked with people that have lost people, lost friends, lost loved ones, lost kids to suicide. And let me tell you, it impacts people for the rest of their lives. You're valuable to the people that God has placed in your life. You are valuable to your God. If you're walking this road, most importantly, the first thing I want you to do is seek Jesus. There's hope found in Jesus. We need to run to God and He will run to us, right? That's what James writes. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And so I challenge you, draw near to Jesus today in the midst of your despair. Second thing you can do is stay in God's Word and let it sink deep into your soul. Remind yourself of your value to Jesus. You are precious to Him. He loves you and he wants you and he wants a relationship with you. Put yourselves in the hands of your master today. Remind yourselves what Jesus did for you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts. Turn your thoughts to God when you're afraid. Focus on the long term, not just the short term in your story and in your situation. Remember that God is good and that he is in control. Trust that God will never stop loving you and there is hope in him. Third, remember you're not alone. Don't walk this journey alone. Get a hold of somebody. Talk to somebody. And you know what? Talk to a counselor. It's never wrong to receive counseling in our lives. When there's something going on in our lives that are just, you know, our emotions are a wreck, or there's a lot of things going on in our world. My wife spoke about it a little bit last week. You know, that's something that we should be doing as well, is talking with people that God has placed in our lives. Find a good Christian counselor. A good Christian counselor. Why do I emphasize Christian? Because they see world through a biblical worldview, just like you see the world through a biblical worldview. You need biblical, godly counseling in your life. And so I challenge you, find a good Christian counselor. Talk to somebody and get hope that you can have in your life. If you or someone you know is struggling, know that your life has meaning. And that there's always hope in Christ. You are not alone today. If you need, give me a call. Give me a call. Don't know my number? Here it is. I'll tell you right now. I'll broadcast it online. Ready? Pull out your phone. If you need my number, here it is. I'm not afraid to share it. 724-972-1394. Give me a call. I'd love to talk with you. Life is valuable. Your life has value today. Another hot topic will hit. You guys doing okay? Anyone a little uncomfortable? We're talking about some uncomfortable things, I know. Talk about suicide, we talk about, you know, all these other things, you know, with abortion, euthanasia. How about gender identity? You know, we're kicking the beehive, may as well kick it again, right? You know, gender identity is one of those things where we start looking, we deny the value of how God created you. That's the wrestle that we're going through right now. We're taking the value away from how God created you. God doesn't create junk. Amen? God doesn't create junk. God created you how he wanted you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you have just the amount of intelligence that God wanted you to have. You have just the metabolism that God wanted you to have. You have just as much hair as God wanted you to have. And guess what? It's the color that God wanted you to have too. It's okay to let those gray hairs go. Amen? What's Scripture say about that gray hair? It's a crown. It shows wisdom. You know what? Quit coloring your hair. Show that wisdom off for a little while. We know it's from a bottle anyway. You're not fooling us. Man, let it go. It's going to be all right. God created you with just the size nose that he wanted you to have. God also created you with just the proper gender that he wanted you to have. Scripture says that in Genesis 1:27, it says, God created mankind in his own image, male and female, he created them. This affirms that gender is part of God's good creation. Scripture consistently presents male and female as distinct, yet equal in value and in dignity. We all have different personalities. You know, there's different strengths and weaknesses based on male and female, but God created both genders. He created you who he wanted you to be. Psalm 139, again, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. While culture views on gender may vary, the Bible calls believers to embrace their identity as created by God with love, clarity, and compassion. Are you satisfied with how God made you? I hope so. Man, wouldn't that be nice if we just all were satisfied with how God created us? You know, and just lived life and just said, God, I'm going to use everything you've given me, all the giftings you've given me for your glory, and I'm going to do all the things that you've called me to do. Let's not destroy how God made you by changing how God made you through changing our gender and all those different things that we're going through within our culture. The last one we're going to hit really quickly, again, another fast one. Racism denies the value to those who are different than you. Galatians chapter 3, it says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, were clothed yourself in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. Scripture calls us to love one another regardless of our race and our background. We are all created in the image of God. Racism contradicts God's design for unity and love. God commands us to love your neighbor as yourself, which includes embracing and respecting people from all nationalities. True Christian faith calls us to reject division and practice equality. Amen? All right, that's it. That's the last of the hot topics that we're going to talk about here this morning. But we're not done yet, because I want to just share something with you before we conclude this message today. And I want to just remind you today that you are precious to God. Regardless of all those things that we talk about, all the disunity that we have in our culture based on a lot of those different topics, I want us to just come to a place where you understand today that you are precious to God. So if you ever feel like your story's broken, too messy, too far gone, remember this, that God is still writing your story. The author of life is not finished with you yet. You matter. Your life matters because your story was written by the hands of the one who loves you the most. You are precious to God. I want you to turn to your neighbor today and just tell them that they're precious to God. You are precious to God. Every one of us here today, you are precious to God. God loves you. God's love goes beyond our understanding. It continues through every moment of our lives. Isaiah 43:4, God says, you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. That's God talking to his people. And I believe that same is true today, that wasn't a temporary statement. That is God's eternal view of you. You are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. You are precious to him, not because of your perfection, thank God, but because of his love. You are precious to God because he loves you so much, more than you could ever understand. Matthew 10:28-31, don't be afraid of those who will kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Let that sink in today. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Isn't that wonderful? You're more valuable than a bunch of sparrows, than a flock of birds. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples as he was sending them out to preach. He knew that they would face hardship. He knew that they'd be misunderstood. He knew they'd be rejected. He knew they'd be threatened. He knew they'd even face death. He knew they'd be, yet his message wasn't be strong and fight back. It was do not be afraid. Don't be afraid as you walk through this world. Walk through this world with boldness of who I've called you to be. Why? Because our greatest fear shouldn't be on what people can do to us. Yes, people may hurt us. Yes, people may misunderstand us. Yes, people may oppose us. But Jesus shifts our focus. He reminds us that while people may harm our body, only God holds the power over our soul and over our eternity. And here's the beauty of it. This very same God who holds the power also holds a deep personal care of each of us. Jesus gives us this example, sparrows, right? These birds that are around in our lives. It's time, in his time, sparrows were sold for almost nothing. Two for a penny, right? They didn't have a lot of value. They were considered small. They were considered insignificant. Yet Jesus says, not even one sparrow falls to the ground without the Father noticing. He says something even more amazing. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. That's a lot, right? He knows us pretty deeply. He knows the very hairs on your head. Some of you, it's only a few. Some of you, it's a whole lot more. I almost called out a few people, but I said I probably shouldn't do that. That's not just a poetic thought, it's a powerful truth. God knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your struggles. He knows your dreams. He knows the pain that you have and are experiencing. Nothing is too small for his attention. Nothing in your life goes unnoticed. If God cares about a tiny bird, if he knows the number of hairs on your head, how much more does he care about you? This is Jesus' point. You are not forgotten. You are not overlooked. You are not insignificant. You are worth more than many sparrows. So do not be afraid, because not because this world is easy, but because life will, not because life will always make sense, but because you are loved by the one who made you. You are loved by the one who knows you. You are loved by the one who holds your future in his hands. Whatever you're facing today, fear, whether it be uncertainty or rejection, remember this truth. You are precious to God. You are seen. You are known. And you are worth more than you could ever imagine. You are precious to God. You have value in his eyes. And no matter how we view ourselves, no matter what culture says about us, no matter what mom and dad or some leader has spoken over you in your life, you are precious to the King of Kings. You are precious to the God of the universe. He loves you so much, and he wants a relationship with you. He wants to pour himself into you and see your value in him. He loves you so much, and I want us to understand that when we give our heart to Jesus and make him our Lord and our Master, we become a child of God. We are heirs with Christ, co-heirs with Christ. We are something special. Why? Because Christ lives in us, and God has saved us and redeemed us and called us his own. The greatest demonstration of how precious you are to God is seen in Jesus' sacrifice. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We weren't good enough for God to die for us. He died for us in our sin. And he still loves us and wants a relationship with us, even in our brokenness. Even when we are far from us, God looked at us and said, you're worth dying for. You're worth sending my son to the cross for, because I love you so much. And I want to have a relationship with you for all of eternity. You matter to God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe. You matter to God. You are precious to him. The cross is the clearest proof of our value. When we understand how precious we are to God, it changes everything. It gives us confidence when we feel insecure. How many have ever felt insecure? But man, there's confidence in God, even in the midst of our insecurities. There's hope in our hopelessness. Why? Because we serve an almighty God. And we know that one word from God can change any situation that we're facing in our world and in our lives. There's hope in our hopeless situations because of who God is. It gives us hope when we feel lost. It gives us peace when we feel unworthy. We've all had those moments in our lives where we feel unworthy, but God gives us that peace that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you are precious to Him, and He loves you and wants to draw you close to Him. It reminds us that we're never alone. We are never forgotten. We are always loved. We are loved by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are loved today. You are precious to Him. You have value in His eyes. Even when we don't have value in our own, you have value in His eyes. The heart of the gospel is that grace is available to all. Whether you're here today struggling with guilt over abortion, maybe despair from racism that you've experienced in life, maybe pain from gender confusion, or maybe even thoughts of ending your life, God offers healing, identity, and restoration through Jesus Christ. God is here to do something new inside of your life today. He wants to reveal Himself in a new and a powerful way in your life. But that requires something from us. Scripture says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. It takes us taking that initiative and saying, God, I'm a mess. God, I'm broken. God, I'm hurting. God, I don't know what is going on in this situation, in this problem that I'm facing. But God, I'm going to run after You today. And let me tell you, when we draw near to God, He brings hope. He brings peace. He brings joy. You know, all those fruit of God's Holy Spirit start growing in our lives. As we draw close to God, He starts producing things in our lives that we never thought possible, in situations that we never thought that would be possible to produce in our situations, in our lives. Let me close with this today. You are not a mistake. Maybe some of you today have been told you are a mistake. You are not a mistake. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. You are not a mistake. You are not invisible. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, deeply known and forever treasured by the One who created you. And to Him, you are truly precious. Let's stand in this place. Worship team, you can come forward. I want us to just take a moment here today and just let the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts and speak into our lives. You are precious to our King and to our Lord. The enemy would love to tell you that you are not valuable, that you're not worth anything, that you're too broken, that you're too far gone, that you've sinned too big. The enemy would love to do everything he can to keep you from running to Jesus. But I want to tell you today, you are loved by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. You are precious to Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in this place today. Lord, we love You so much. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be working in this time, working in this place, working in this moment. God, I pray, Lord, for everybody that's here today, those that are watching online, God, that You would speak to us and help us to understand how valuable we are to You. Lord, if we would just understand just a little bit, Lord, of how much you love us and how you want us to draw near to you and how you want a relationship with us. God, it would transform so many things about our lives. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would help every one of us that are here just to run after you today. And Lord, that we would give ourselves into your hands and that you'd continue to touch and mold us and do something new and exciting inside of us. And Lord, that you would bring us that peace and that hope, Lord, that would just come and fill our hearts and our lives right now in this place. And I pray for those that might not have a relationship with you to give their lives to you. If you're here today and you say, I need to give my life to Jesus, I need to make him my Lord and my master so that I can have that promise of eternal life, so that I can have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me, helping to shape my identity. If you are here today and you have not given your heart to Jesus, made him your Lord and your master, and you want to do that today, I just encourage you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing. I just want to know I'm talking to you today. If you're here and you want to give your heart to Jesus, just raise your hand real quick today. Preparing this message, I know that there's some that are here today that are dealing with some of these issues and some of the pain that life has brought. And I want to remind us how loved we are in the presence of Almighty God. And as we close in this song, I want us to just sit in His presence and understand today how loved we are by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. So in this moment, I want us to run after God. I want us in our minds, in our hearts, and in our prayer to draw near to God. And Scripture says He will draw near to us. And so today, as the worship team sings, let's do that today. Let's cry out to God and let's run after Him. And let's allow Him to bring peace into our hearts and joy into our spirits and hope into our stories. And if you want to find a place of prayer on these altars, the altars are open. You don't need to come forward, but if you want to, feel free to come forward and we'll pray with you. But why don't we take a few minutes today before we leave this place just to spend a few moments in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Thank you, Jesus. We pour to your name, God. So we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
In our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Lord, we love you so much. God, we thank you for your presence in this place today. God, I pray that you'd go with us with your strength and your power. Lord, help us to understand that we are fearfully, we are wonderfully made. And God, I pray right now that we would just understand that we are precious to you. And as we walk through this week, God, help us to remember that fact and help us to remind ourselves of who we are in you this next week. God, we love you. We thank you so much. And God, I pray that you'd walk with us with your anointing, your strength, and your power in everything we do, in everything we say, Lord, that we would be able to stand firm in you, that we'd be controlled by the Spirit and not controlled by the flesh. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the week. If you're new or newer to our church, or you just want lunch, head on down to the fireside room. We'd love to meet with you and just enjoy some time together and just eat together and with the pastoral staff and some other people here in the church. We're looking forward to that and look forward to seeing you hopefully on Wednesday night for outpouring prayer service and kids groups.